Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
NBA TV is showing the Rockets game right now. By the time we're out of here, I likely won't see the D'Angelo Russell disaster class in the fourth quarter. I mean, he wasn't good throughout the game. He was 2-for-10. But he was particularly awful late in the game as the Mavericks are trying to mount a comeback. We talked about it in the first hour. He did the Rockets so many favors.
It does say something about D'Angelo Russell and his reputation among basketball fans that I didn't see anyone make the check his FanDuel account joke. That no, everyone was just, like, nope, he's just doing this.
It's just who he is, man. He
set this is 100% on the up and up.
He
what
set
he's
a
doing.
Standard. That's the D'Angelo Russell experience. If you sign up for it by signing him, this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, come on.
And he does the opponents more favors than he does his own team, particularly when there's actually a guy on the roster having a good night and P.J. Washington say, forget about it. I know you're having a great night. I'm not going to feed you the ball. Let me take my shots. I'm going to take the mid-range off-balance jumpers. And that was what made me laugh the most, I guess. He had wide-open 15-footers that he wouldn't even get set for. He's leaning to the left. You're not a good enough shooter for all that. You better square your shoulders, rise up.
Set your feet.
And fire. Yeah. You shouldn't be leaning. You shouldn't be taking off-balance jumpers with no one near you. The Rockets didn't play those pretty well. It was kind of like in a kind of delayed transition, and he would come down, get the screen, fire off a bad shot, miss a corner three, whatever. It was great for the Rockets, bad for the Mavericks. Hey, you signed him, and now you get the consequences of that. All right, let's move on to college football. We have not started with this team ever when it came to the misery index. Unfortunately, I got to throw the Cougs on the list. That was a great opportunity against a bad football team. You are coming off a big win, and you get scored on quickly. You turn the ball over. They're down by 2 touchdowns early. Credit to them for fighting back. We had Willie Fritz on this morning with John and Lance, and there are a lot of plays that didn't go their way, but the Connor Wegman pick six when they're down 3 drive, and it felt like, okay, West Virginia's kind of running out of steam. You've taken their best punch. You go up here, you change kind of game flow. Because if you score a touchdown, West Virginia no longer has the ability to take a 2-score lead against you like they kind of had the entire game. Instead, Connor Wegman thinks he has a guy playing, dropping off in coverage, but instead he has help, so he doesn't play the deep route. He can drive on the short out route, and you're throwing it from the opposite hash, gives him up. Chance to get there. Easy pick six, changes the flow of the game, changes momentum. That was a tough one. I watched that live. Oh no. You know, and so with some pick sixes, you're like, oh no.
You can see it coming.
Yeah. Yeah. You see the DB eyes on the quarterback, not dropping back deeper zone because he just read it wrong. And it led to a pick six, West Virginia up by 10. And at that point, they could kind of control that game. So the Cougs had a chance to get themselves really, really into the Big 12 title race because Cincinnati went into Utah and lost. So Cincinnati was one of the undefeated teams in the Big 12, and they lost in Salt Lake. It was tough. It's tough. They did the whole blackout game. They're honoring their strength and conditioning coach who died of cancer. it was just unfortunate. It felt like, okay, you got a bad team in here. I think West Virginia was 2-6 coming in.
Something like that.
Yeah. They're bad. They're a bad football team. And the Cougs let them get going early, and they just built momentum. And it was their worst defensive effort. I mean, you couldn't have seen it coming the way they played defense over the course of the season. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Early game, and they dropped that one.
There is an element to me of, like, still 7-2. Like, if you know, that's why it's not, like, to me, it's not, like, crushing. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a loss that you just, like, what the heck, guys? It's like,
where did that come from?
Where did that come from? You know, Tom Herman was in the building. It felt like a very Tom Herman era loss for the Houston Cougars.
A Tom Herman era Texas loss.
No, Cougars loss. Because they lost to a team they had no business losing to.
I'm trying to think, when did he leave? He left.
He was 15-16.
The losses popped up when
they were great in 15. Yeah, obviously the losses, honoring that team. Yeah,
the losses popped up when the rumors got really big. Him leaving. Did they lose a game?
They beat Lamar Jackson in Louisville and like killed them.
Yeah,
and then I think they turned around and lost to like was it like Army?
There's a game
like a bad Army team.
There's a game when the rumors were at their peak, where they lost, was it to Memphis? And Tom Herman didn't want to answer questions
That's what I was referring to, is just the, like, WTF losses that he had at the end there, where they went, like, 8-4.
So, yeah, they wound up 8-4. They lost a bowl game. Yeah, they lost to SMU, a bad loss. They lost at Navy.
Yeah, okay, Navy.
They lost to that Navy team by 6. And then they were still in the picture trying to stay in the race. They're 5-2, and that was they came off the big win against Louisville.
Yeah, okay.
They got the 5-2. They're 9-2, trying to get to 10 wins again, and Memphis beat them. But that was the whole Tom's about to leave and all that stuff. And, of course, he wasn't around.
Whatever happened to Tom Herman? Where'd he go?
Well, you'll hear him tomorrow. John and Lance. Uh-huh. John and Lance will have him on tomorrow at, like, 9:10 or something, so he'll join them. So that's where Tom Herman is. Joining John and Lance.
Waiting by his phone.
Yeah, I don't know if he's doing that. I'm sure. I hope he's got a more
19 hours from now.
I'm sure he's got a more fruitful life than that, but he will be waiting by his phone tomorrow in the morning to talk to John and Lance. So the Cougs go on the list. That's unfortunate. Another team in the state of Texas, at least they played in the state of Texas, that goes on the list, are the Miami Hurricanes. They blow a game against a SMU team that lost by a point to Wake Forest the week before. A Wake Forest team who got their doors blown off against a bad Florida State team. So that's just some transitive property working for you. But the gist of it is, it was a crystal ball special. The team committed turnovers. They committed penalties. Now, because everything can be clipped, there are clear examples, if we want to play this game, of ACC refs being ACC refs. But that's beyond the point. You got no business losing to the SMU team. SMU's not good. I would say they're average, but you watch them play over the course of the year. Miami, no business losing to them, except you're coached by a certain gentleman, and he has these in his back pocket at any point. I was talking to the guys yesterday on the show about this, and I said, you know, it's an interesting spot to be in where your favorite team makes you miserable for 3.5 hours or so, but then you're comforted by the fact that you could tell yourself, I knew I was right about this guy. So it's almost like, yeah, that sucked. But if I live in a world where I want to be right more than I want to be happy, I can't lose, baby. I know about this guy.
You'd love to be wrong eventually.
I want him to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
But he refuses to.
Yeah. Along those lines, when is this? I guess that they're still, 7-2?
Yeah, well, 6-2. They got 4 to go. If they go 10-2, I mean,
they can argue on the last day.
Hey, we beat Notre Dame. Yeah. How can they be ahead of us?
How are we feeling? Like, crystal ball. How much longer are we? No end in sight?
No end in sight. 10-year deal.
Okay.
The money's behind them.
Because I feel like this, and maybe it's just talking to you about the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Feels like this is the type of season they're kind of capped out on, where it's like top 5 up through October, and Mario Cristobal, I saw the stat, I think he's 4-9.
He's awful in November.
As a Canes coach?
Yeah.
Like,
he's got a couple ass kickings at the hands of Utah as an Oregon coach, too.
Oh, maybe it's 4-9 over the last whatever. I forgot what it was.
Yeah, I think but it's 4-9 over his tenure in Miami.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, like, I guess how long are we going to do this? But flip side, I am familiar with the previous, 15 years
longer than that.
Miami Canes football.
And the stat that has made plenty of people happy is because if you go back to when they made this hire, Manny Diaz was still the coach, but it was very obvious they were maneuvering to get
they
Mario
kind of left
in.
Him in the wind as they
They made sure Mario was all lined eyes, up. Yeah. And, you know, in his going away thing, he made mention of that. Manny Diaz did. Manny Diaz, better ACC record than Mario Cristobal.
At Miami?
Manny Diaz currently, when you include Duke, has a better – yeah, Miami, yes, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But even at Duke, you combine them.
God.
Better ACC record than Mario Cristobal, percentage-wise.
Ugh.
So
That's bad.
Yeah, Miami, not all that well-liked. Cristobal, not that well-liked as far as national media is concerned because everyone's sick and tired of pretending like things are going to go differently, and then he just lives up to his own reputation.
And the thing that he's bad at is, like, very obvious to see when you watch football.
Out. Yeah.
Like, it's like the game management stuff that, like, you don't get wrong playing Madden, but he gets wrong.
And it's not even simply about, you know, timeouts or kneeling when you should. It's like, you're the more talented team. Yeah. Why are you artificially limiting possessions and plays? You're the better team. Wouldn't you want your offense on the field more to score, to have more opportunities to score more points? Why are you playing for 21-20?
Yeah.
That's not what good teams do.
You have a receiver nicknamed Baby Jesus.
Yeah. Why
throw him the ball.
His game plan is very similar to what FAMU does or Bethune-Cookman does when they play in Miami. Hey, let's run the ball and throw short passes to get this clock moving and keep it moving because we don't want our guys out here that long because we got the rest of the season
to
go.
Get out of here ASAP.
We want the money, and we don't want to get beat up because of the superior athletes on the other side. He plays offense that way.
Yeah, and he has
the better athletes.
The best roster in the ACC? Yes, he does have the best
most expensive and best. And yet, here we are where Virginia has the inside track to the ACC title game. And Georgia Tech, despite their loss, along with Louisville, are more likely to get there than Miami.
No, Miami, their best chance is to go 10-2 and not play the ACC.
Yeah, and hope that when it comes down to it,
enough SEC teams
will lose. And then you're looking at 10-2, you have a win over Notre Dame, and that'll be your bell cow. And you go, hey, how can you dare to pick them? When we beat them, and they'll go, "Hey, they're Notre Dame." That's how we'll dare to pick them. I don't know if you've heard. They're 10-2. If we're going, I don't even want to play the game because Miami won't finish 10-2, so there's no point.
That's
in me
part
taking
of it.
That decision.
That's part of Miami falls squarely in the cast of team, and a lot of those ACC teams that you mentioned fall into the category of, well, if they win out, they're not going to win out.
Yeah, why would
let's not worry about that. They're not going
to
win out.
They will go to Virginia Tech 9-2.
Yeah.
And then lose.
At the very least, they're losing to Pitt. They're losing to Pitt the last game.
See, I don't even think it happens that way. Knowing the Cristobal experience, they got Syracuse, who's terrible. They'll beat 7-2, whatever. They will squeeze out a win again. I don't even know who's next. NC State at home, I think.
Yeah.
And then they will surprise everyone who expects them to lose to Pittsburgh and go beat Pittsburgh. And then they'll lose to Virginia Tech. That's how it'll work out.
Whatever the most painful, stupid thing has
to happen, it'll be that way.
I mean, back-to-back road games in Blacksburg and Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh's the last game of the season?
Yeah, Pitt's last.
Okay, then they'll lose to Pitt. Okay. It was whatever the last game was. They'll be 9-2.
Didn't they do that with Richt?
They were undefeated. On the verge of becoming the number one team in the country because I think someone had lost. Well, the loss was going to come on Saturday.
Yeah.
They played on a Friday after Thanksgiving, I think, or something like that.
That sounds right.
They're up. They're 10-0. They were 10-0 because one game got suspended. They didn't play it. But 10-0, number two team in the country, go up the pit, lose to Clemson in the ACC title game, then lose to Wisconsin in the Orange Bowl. And the Richt era was never the same. He eventually quit the next year because they wanted him to fire his son and Thomas Brown, the OC, who we brought over from Georgia. Yes, I have a lot of Miami history in my head. It's all miserable. At least since I've been an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Keep Cristobal. This is better than that. This is better. I'm sorry. This is just better.
At least
than
he'll
that.
Prove me right over and over again.
Yeah. And I, yeah. And it's fun. You know, going 9-3, it's not the worst.
It's better.
It's not the
I
worst.
I mean, sure. And I won't delude myself into thinking it could be any better because they'll hire a different coach and I'll trick myself into thinking it could be better. At least with Cristobal, I know what the outcome will be.
Yeah.
Let's move away from that disaster to another program who, you know, was good in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
And had a bit of a run where they weren't. They hire a coach no one thought would be good, and he's outperformed expectations. But Saturday happened, and now Tennessee fans are pissed off. They have questions about where this program can go under Josh Heupel, which is fine. You're an SEC program who believes they should be competing for the playoff. And the playoff has done this. Like, if Tennessee was still in the four-team playoff era or even the BCS, you know, losing Oklahoma would suck. But you know what? We probably weren't going to be in that spot anyway. But when you have the 12-team playoff as a goal that's very reachable,
yeah,
losing to that Oklahoma team at home in the way that you did kills you. The fans are up in arms. Remember, this is a fan base who made sure they didn't get Greg Schiano, which turned out to be a good choice. So they know they have at least a little bit of power. And now they're after Heupel. Someone who says, shut your mouth, is one Kirk Herbstreit. He does a podcast with Joey Galloway. Here's Kirk Herbstreit on the miserable Tennessee fans and why they shouldn't be.
Tip of the cap to the fans, to the game ops at Tennessee. It's as good of a scene to me as there is in the country when they're rolling. And I think I heard some nonsense from Tennessee fans about Josh Heupel's got to go.
An effect on the voice.
Everybody's good. Whoever loses has got to go. Man, bull. Have you thought about where Tennessee's football program was before Josh Heupel got there? Off the field issues, drama, BS, all going. This is a good football team that lost maybe the two best corners on one team. You should be just like, lock Josh Heupel and his staff down for 100 years. You can't win every game. You guys are heading in
Does
a Kirk great direction.
Aggies?
Be grateful. It's going to come. You can't win them all. And when you lose one, it doesn't mean you need to fire your coach. You know, that I'm just tired of hearing a team, all these fans, when they lose a game, we got to fire our coach. That's not the answer.
Lucky.
So anyway, let's, Joey, we got
enough.
We got 18.
Enough of Kirk Herbstreit. That little lock him down thing is what got the Aggies in trouble. Now, they got the money to pay it off, and maybe Tennessee does too. But let's not be handing out extensions to a guy who's currently 6-3. And no need.
Like, I was nodding along, and then when he got to that part, I was
who's
like, right.
coming for Josh Heupel? And you know what, if you're Tennessee people? If someone steals Josh Heupel away from you because you won't give him the extension, trust in yourself that you can go get a guy who's at the UCF level and be just as good. Look, it's not easy to hire a good head coach, but it can be done by competent people.
Yeah.
And there's no need to give Josh Heupel an extension. Lock him down.
He's fine.
He's
just
a good coach.
Keep it going. I mean, I will
and if
say
if he wants to leave, then you can have that conversation. But and if the money's too much, say, thanks, Josh, for your time here. Goodbye.
I will say their wins this year, Syracuse, East Tennessee State, UAB, Dilfer UAB.
Virginia Tech.
Mississippi State,
oh, that was South
Carolina. Arkansas, Kentucky. And their losses are against Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like they're a very clear, like, Mendoza line team.
Yeah, I was confusing them with South Carolina as far as beating Virginia Tech early. They didn't play Virginia Tech. But to your point, there always needs to be a bit more context and actually
they're gonna go 8-4.
A deep dive into how this season's going. Yeah. They were nationally ranked. They did a good job. You love the environment. But when you look at the record, there's not a signature win.
No.
They played Georgia close. That was their signature win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Kirk, you might like Josh Heupel. He might have gave you a great interview, a great couple quotes.
Coaches meeting.
Yeah, that's fine. I would say Josh Heupel is a good coach.
I kind of agree. I agree with Herbstreit on the don't fire him side of things.
But
I don't agree with the lock him up for 100 years.
But if you have some problems watching your team not beat anyone on their level or above them, and you're looking at the schedule and going, wait a minute, well, you had us in a death struggle with Mississippi State and Arkansas.
Yeah.
And those are a couple of your wins. What are we talking about?
Yeah. No, I to me, it's – I mean, you mentioned it. They're a team that was good in the 90s, early 2000s, and then hit a bit of a drought there for a little while. Pretty good with Lane Kiffin for a year. But to me, it's like you guys should not be sick of going 9-3, 8-4.
10-3, 9-4, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Making the playoff last year. Like, yeah. You guys shouldn't be sick of it this fast.
No.
Like you can deal with this for another year or two of like, hey, we're competitive. You know, maybe, you know, the kicker makes a kick against Georgia. Like, we're talking about a completely different
very,
team.
Very
so it's something where it's like, the 12-team playoff, I think, has broken, especially SEC fan bases. Like, it's broken their brains. You mix that with the fact, I mean, an extra loss on the, or we don't know extra, but they did lose to Oklahoma, a team that's not an SEC team in recent history. Like, it's like the conference got harder. The playoff got more attainable. So you're like, well, 8-4, BS. Like, we should be competing for the playoff.
And, probably,
and it's just not that realistic.
And it probably doesn't help that despite the loss, they can look over, I don't know, the geography of Tennessee, that Vanderbilt.
I think they look west.
They look west to Nashville.
Yeah.
And see that Vanderbilt's, at least this year, has a better win.
That also pisses a lot of people off.
Yeah.
In the SEC country.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, they can do it.
And Vanderbilt's being talked about more than you. And,
yeah.
And despite Texas having a big lead, took them down to the wire. So, yeah. Josh Heupel going anywhere. But if you're a Tennessee fan, you played Ohio State and got your doors blown off. Of course, they're defending national champion.
Yeah.
At least they went on to win the national championship.
Joined the club of teams that got their doors blown off.
So, in your most recent games against good elite to good tier football teams, you have not fared well. But, hey, it's one of those years where Joey Aguilar, who you had never heard of until he got on your campus, is now your quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's done really well.
Yeah. If you throw in the Nico thing, like, they've had a pretty good year. They've recovered nicely of, like, hey, this guy that was – an Appalachian State quarterback who we
took from UCLA.
Yeah, basically made a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's fine. Like, you know, I don't know. The Tennessee thing, that's so interesting.
And they got New Mexico State and Florida and Vanderbilt coming up. So you got a real shot to go 9-3. And if you can beat Vanderbilt, you're a 9-3 SEC team. So
they shouldn't, if they're 9-3, they say they should make the playoff after the record I just read off.
Don't put 90, it past
93
them.
Miami should get in over them.
Don't put it past them if it
and
happens.
If Texas is 9-3, and man, I'm going to be very disrespectful to Josh Heupel, a guy who I think shouldn't be fired.
At least, yeah, if he goes to stumping for a chance to make the playoffs.
Bobby Hill looking ass.
Wow, that turned really quickly.
No, I just said that's what I would say.
Josh Heupel didn't do anything yet.
That's what I would say, though.
Wow. All right, we'll go to break with that.
At least to Florida. What are we talking about?
The Florida we saw against Georgia, they could definitely go into. They can go into the swamp.
Tennessee hasn't beat a team that good since Fulmer was the coach.
Well, that's not actually true, but it is a funny thing to say. All right, we'll go to break with that. Our misery index is complete. We normally go to four, but hey, we went long because Kirk and Tennessee fans got us a little riled up. But before we do go to break, I want to let you know if you want to watch college football this weekend, if you want to see maybe the Tennessee Vols in action. They may have a bye. But either way, ESPN is the place that most of us watch our games. And right now, if you're a YouTube TV subscriber, you can't. So go to KeepMyNetworks.com to make sure you know what's going on. You want ESPN. You want to watch game day. You want to watch all the games. You want to, of course, watch the NBA product. And, hell, we missed Monday Night Football last night. KeepMyNetworks.com. That's KeepMyNetworks.com.
First, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and a great way to make some money as you are watching these games. If you are able to watch these games, you can make some money on Prize Picks. Last night, not a great night. Reed Sheppard, one three-pointer made. There's one corner one. I thought it went in for a second, but he actually missed it to where it looked like it went in and didn't go in. That was disappointing. Kevin Durant, 32 points, rebounds, assist. Needed 34 to get that one over the line. But hey, it's another day to get back on that horse and find something on Prize Picks that I like. Whether it is basketball, whether it's some Thursday night football look ahead action, you got Maction that I mentioned. College basketball has tipped off. So hey, maybe Texas and Duke, Maybe I can learn who's on Texas's basketball team as I put a little money on them with Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So there's a lot of words to explain this, but the Astros get a extra pick because Hunter Brown is a Cy Young Award finalist. From what I can tell, it just feels like baseball trying to get teams to push their top prospects up quicker instead of holding them back for service years and all that stuff. So if you're a top 100 prospect, if you're on if you are on two of the three top 100 prospect lists, that includes ESPN, MLB Pipeline, and Baseball America, and you wind up at some point being on one of these award finalist lists, and your team did the thing where they didn't hold you back as far as service years, you get your team an extra pick, and Hunter Brown has done that. So thank you, Hunter Brown. Appreciate you also, for being really great.
Thank you, Baseball America and ESPN. That's to me, it's weird that the baseball prospect list is just completely built off of like outside opinions,
sure,
by like writers. Like, imagine if like the NBA like Supermax or something was determined by like the Ringer top 100 list. You know, like the Ringer has their own list, Bleacher Report has their own list, and whatever has but their own it, list, and then it, we kind of ESPN, and we just kind of combine that and. That's how you're a top 100 player.
But is it determined by the guys who vote on all NBA as far as what type of max you can get? Like if you
Yeah, but that's a little different cuz that's like an actual award that you're getting.
Yeah.
Not like
a list of
a
who
top
we think
100
is great.
List of,
yeah,
like especially cuz then it's like prospects. So it's like top 100 and like some of these all these guys are playing in different leagues and there's like 21-year-olds and 17-year-olds.
Yeah, for example.
Where you're like, yeah.
To your point, former Ringer employee Kevin O'Connor thought Killian Hayes was the best player in his draft.
Exactly. So, now imagine if like that was like, well, if you draft Killian Hayes and yeah, you get and he makes all rookie team, you get an extra pick.
Well, I guess in that case he would have been right, but he was not right on Killian Hayes. I don't know if he's even in the NBA right now. He's certainly not a Piston.
I don't think he is. He's a guy, I think he bounced from Europe back to America and then back again.
Yeah, he currently...
Is he a net? I think it was a Brooklyn net for a second. Which feels like you're on your way out of the league if you stop by the net.
I think he is, at the moment, he was a Brooklyn net. I don't know if he was waived by the Cavs last month.
Okay.
So he's...
Camp body.
Yeah, at this point. So, So thank you, Hunter Brown. We talked about it yesterday. Mauricio Dubon won himself a utility man gold glove. So... That's the extent of it when it comes to the Astros. I mean, we'll see.
They should get a pick for utility man gold glove. Come on. Give me another pick.
Anyway, to get
Silver Slugger?
Picks.
Can we get a pick?
Yeah. Are there other ways the Astros can maneuver themselves into getting picks?
Cam Smith wasn't he a gold glove finalist?
But if he never spends any time in your system.
That is true.
How does that affect
it? Also, I don't think Gold Glove is like... I think it's just Cy Young and MVP.
MVP and stuff like that. Yeah, so.
Dumb. That's very hard to get. That would not make me play my young guy, being like...
Well, I don't think...
Chinsari's not a top three guy.
I don't think that has anything to do... I know it's supposed to be an incentive to push a guy up quicker, but I don't think it does. It just so happens that Hunter Brown...
Was good enough to
get pushed up early, or at least on time, and then stay
3 years later,
and then continue to be great. Yeah, so that's all that was. We're one change to a sinker away from none of this ever happening,
right?
Or one non-change away.
Yeah,
from
Alex Bregman being like, "Hey, throw that pitch."
Yeah, if he had never decided to listen to Alex Bregman, get out of here. You always hurt early in the year. What are you talking to me for?
It is crazy how small the margins of baseball are.
Hunter Brown was a guy we felt like, ugh. get this guy out of here.
It was getting pretty ugly.
Yeah. Alex Bregman tells him to throw this, and now he's Cy Young.
Immediately, I mean, in that season, was 24.
It felt like, was it immediately the next start after he started throwing it?
Basically.
He became a guy who you couldn't touch?
There's like a line of demarcation. It was like, I don't know, May or June of that season, where it's just like, oh, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like, 7 ERA, one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Alex Bregman opted for free agency as well.
Hmm.
So that happened.
Pitching coach? Replace, if Miller or Murphy left.
Was it Murphy who left?
I think it was Murphy.
I don't think you get paid the same.
Okay. Count towards the luxury tax, though.
Is that the way they circumvent it? He's a player coach.
He's our pitching coach.
Yeah.
Don't you see?
And we run him out there.
Once in a while, you know, 100 times a season. He plays, I guess, third base for us? No, second base?
Where would he play? No, we're not
doing that. That's why it's not happening.
We're not doing
that. That's why it's not happening.
I don't want to do
this. 5-second conversation.
I don't want to do the Alex Bregman back as an Astro.
No, we need
to do it.
We need like a Heyman and also someone else report that they're interested before we even entertain it.
Yeah, what we're entertaining, or at least hoping for, is frontline
him being a pitching coach. Oh
no, that's your dream. My dream is to have pitchers that I want a pitching coach to instruct, as opposed to what we might have going into next season.
Yeah, and it does seem like there's, you know, just judging off the opt-outs, there's going to be a pretty good supply, and I don't think the Astros are going to be shopping at the top of the market. That's why we've kind of already said our goodbyes to Fromber. But, you know, as more guys enter the free agent market, there's just, you know, a higher supply than there is demand. So I think they're going to be bargain shopping, you know, a 3-year, you know, 15 average, you know, like, what was that, 45? Like that kind of deal of like, that's probably who they're going to end up getting, whether it's one of the Diamondbacks guys, Gallen or Merrill Kelly, although he's a Ranger. He was a Ranger last season. But I think that's the kind of bin they're shopping in. I would be surprised if it's something that like really blows our hair back.
Man, I'd love for Jim Crane to surprise us. Get sick and tired of the Dodgers winning. Just say,
like,
you know what?
This.
Let me start cutting checks.
Yeah.
To anyone.
Is there a Japanese robot that I can sign to be a starter like Yamamoto? Like that guy.
I was talking about it.
Worth every penny.
The fact that the Dodgers have Shohei Ohtani and he's the second best Japanese player in the series is insane.
It's crazy.
Like, it really comes into focus. All the discussions about how unfair it is. Look, they circumvented whatever they want to circumvent. They played the game. They're winning it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They have the money to do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold the Dodgers to the fire because they're playing within the rules and winning in that way. It's just astonishing. Like, you have the benefit of location.
Yeah.
You have the benefit of your TV deal and all the money that comes with living in L.A. And then you just have a guy who's decided, rest. I don't even know effing rest. I will pitch in high leverage moments in game six, win that game, and then come out here and do it again.
20 hours later, yeah.
With what? Yeah, robot, android, whatever you want to call him. Is he one of those? Is he like the evolution of the people we saw in the Alien series? Is he one of them?
Is he a 13-year-old
boy? Is
that
a 13-year-old kid in a robot's body?
He's like, please call me Smee.
Yeah.
Smee Yamamoto, please.
Can I have... My old name was Yamamoto. Call me Rufio. You can call me now. Let me pick my name.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you hit it where it's like, the Dodgers did all this stuff right. All of it, they kind of did it right. As far as team building go. At the end of the day, they still needed... $300 million
arm. Superhuman.
Like... To do that.
Yeah.
To not only be able to do that, but then to have, like, the trust in, like, the Dodgers, whoever, because that has to be a decision, like, several people have to make.
Yeah.
It's not just Dave Roberts in the seventh inning
the
being like, you know what?
Long-term future of this guy.
Yeah, they have him under contract forever. He had the biggest contract of any player coming from Japan in MLB history. Like, that's the kind of investment they have in this guy to pitch him. What was it? It was 30 pitches. It was 2 2/3 after throwing 90-plus pitches the night before. Like, that's a crazy thing to even do. To even entertain that, never mind physically be able to do it. Like, that's where Yeah. And you still I hate to hand it to him, but I kind of have to hand it to him.
You still needed the Rojas home run.
Yeah.
And you still needed the great play extras. In center field.
The Will Smith play at the plate. All right. Yeah. I guess it was Kiner Falefa sliding in, like being, I don't know, one step too late.
Yeah.
Like that's all it comes down to.
They had the money, the performance from your superhuman, and they won on all the margin plays.
Yeah.
And it took it all. So really, we should be actually crediting the Blue Jays, but they're the losers.
Or just being like, Dodgers, not that good.
And what?
They didn't really run baseball, if you think about it.
And look how much it took.
It's still pretty hard to win this thing.
And also, Blue Jays, learn your lesson. Keep Drake away from the facility. Keep him away.
I thought we moved past this.
They didn't learn. Look, I know he's October's very own, and I know he's your native son, so you can't actually turn him away, but what are you doing?
That'd be very funny. Don't let him. No, please.
I don't know how many games for the Blue Jays he showed up at, but I know he showed up for game six.
Mm-hmm.
Get him out of there.
That didn't go well.
Tell him no. Look, man, we appreciate it.
No.
This may go bad for us on social media if you tell people we turned you away, but you can't be here.
Yeah. No, watch the game with your son in your home.
Yeah,
all
right? That's fine. You know what? We'll invite you to the celebration, but we need to get there first.
Yeah, let's get the job done.
Get out of here.
The victory cigars can't be smoked.
Get out of here. I mean, I know you can't because of everything he is to that city. But a decision had to be made. Get him out. Maybe George could have stood at the clubhouse door and said, oh, we got breaking news.
We have breaking news.
Involving?
The New York Jets and the AFC South rival Indianapolis Colts.
Who have they traded for? Jermaine Johnson?
Ahmad Sauce Gardner.
What are the Jets doing and what are the Colts doing? They needed corner help. They had that.
They had the
corpse of Xavier Howard, and now they have Sauce Gardner?
Yes.
What did they give up?
I don't have any. Just this is from Rappaport. Sources say the Jets are trading Sauce Gardner to the Colts. Period. Blockbuster. Period.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
That, I mean, you know what? One more time. Just that deserves two.
I had not heard his name. Didn't they just give him money? Didn't he just get a big deal?
Yes, relatively recently, yeah. I think he got paid before Stingley did.
I'm in a little bit of shock. It's the name I had not heard.
It's a rare, because I've done a lot of deadline show days, sure. You know.
This is
by far the most surprising.
We'll find out the compensation hopefully before we're done.
Yeah, but the Colts, we need to go to break to.
We're talking about going all
compose
in.
Compose ourselves.
Even if the Daniel Jones thing falls apart and they're not a real contender, the Colts go get Sauce Gardner. Nuts!
Oh my god!
Wow! Oh, wow. Stingley and Sauce in the same division. They're going to
Oh, my God. There we go.
There it is.
Two rivalry times, continues.
They don't play each other, but two times a year.
Yeah.
Line
Stingley up a receiver. Who cares?
Better than Kirk and
if they go, Barrios. If they're 4-8, just do that. Just do that. Give me
give
some
us
of
a little
watch.
Fun. Yeah, let's see. Okay, so we'll see if we have particulars on that when we come back. But before we go to break, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet, simply the best place to go to when you want a car. New, pre-owned, whatever it is. They're going to get you right. Go to the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and find the car that you love, whether it be a Blazer, you can want a Silverado, you can want a Trax. They have plenty of vehicles for you, new, pre-owned, or maybe even something for your business. They have a large fleet selection. So anything you might need, they got it for you. And then when you head on out there, they're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. You're going to meet the great people. When you've been in business for over 50 years, that means you're doing something really, really right, and they'll treat you right as well. So, website, monumentchevrolet.com, and then get on out there, meet the great people, and get yourself into the car that you're going to love. That's Monument Chevrolet. And as always, remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
It's
the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we have the compensation for Sauce Gardner. The Colts trade two first-round picks to the Jets, and Sauce broke the news himself. At least he said it's been real, New York. He didn't give any other information. And then after that, minutes later, all the insiders told us where he was going. So two first-rounders, the Colts and the Jets. Look, the Jets weren't good defensively, but you generally don't trade elite cornerbacks. But if they're going to offer you two first-round picks, I guess you'll do it. And that's kind of where we are right now as far as some of the young stars in this league who are available. Like Jalen Waddle is available only if you blow the Dolphins away. I don't know if it's two first-round picks, blow them away, but they at least want one plus more. So if you're looking to find a guy who's under contract and young, going to be in that range. Someone tweeted us, what do the Texans have to trade away to get a competent offensive coordinator? Well, maybe you get Jalen Waddle's coach in the offseason, his current head coach. But at the moment, you're stuck with Nick Caley. And we heard from DeMeco Ryans earlier about some of their struggles running the football or just scoring touchdowns inside the five. So there it is. So look at the Colts right now. That is, you would say, their really first prime defender in a while now. And then you look at the offense, of course, Jonathan Taylor and Pittman and Pierce and that offensive line, and Daniel Jones has played particularly well this year. But they've kind of been anonymous. I mean, Moore is a good nickel back, but they've been kind of anonymous when it comes to defensive players. Not anymore. They get a star corner for a team who was needing help in the secondary. We just didn't know it was going to come from Sauce Gardner. Like Rasul Douglas could be available, but they go and trade two first-round picks for yeah. Sauce Gardner.
This goes beyond just help. You know, this is some serious firepower.
And you imagine, of course, it'll be a first-round pick this year, which as long as things keep going the way they're going, it's not going to be very high. And then we'll see about next year for them. But I don't like it.
Yes.
It's shocking, and I don't like it, but there it is.
The Jets signed Sauce Gardner to a four-year, $120.4 million extension this offseason. And now he's traded to the Colts for two first-round picks.
So I don't know if it's still true, so I got to make sure. But did he get traded for more total career picks? Is he still sitting on one pick for his career?
more picks than picks?
See, he's got three. See,
there we go.
He's got three. So one more pick at this point than actual picks traded for. Three picks in his career. But either way, the 25-year-old Sauce Gardner, now a Colt. Cool. Just great. Like the Jacoby Myers thing, whatever. Fine.
That's
pretty
like
good
normal,
two receiver, whatever.
That's like a normal NFL trade deadline trade. Same thing with Rashid Shaheed going from the Saints to the Seahawks. That's like a normal, like, oh, okay, complimentary piece for, you know, from a bad team going to a good one. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, now they have a good receiver core, Smith and Jigma and Torrey Horton, and now Rashid Shaheed, a deep threat for them.
The Colts, cannonball, baby. Come on. Don't let Ballard get hot.
Yeah, any thoughts of the Colts using Daniel Jones as a bridge quarterback to go draft the quarterback in the first round? Not in the first round. I mean, maybe in the second.
Man.
Okay. The Jags make a move. The Colts make a move. And
Texans?
Expect it to probably just stand still. What are they going to do? Is there a Quinnen Williams that they could trade for? They need defensive tackle help. You want to give up picks for Quinnen Williams?
I mean,
if we're trying to make moves and the Jets are willing to sell, want to restock.
Yeah.
Ask them about Quinnen Williams. See what that would cost.
Woody Johnson's son. Let's see what he wants.
I wish it was him talking to Chris.
Do you think
Ballard.
They had to like physically bar Brick Johnson from the phone as they're negotiating this? Because he was like, you don't understand. Sauce Gardner is a 91 on Madden. You cannot trade him.
If you don't know the reference, there was a time where people believe Brick Johnson, or was it the other kid?
No, it was Brick.
It was Brick.
I remember because his name is Brick Johnson.
So Woody Johnson is pushed back. He has no role. But there was a thought because of an Athletic article that Brick Johnson had a say in the moves the Jets made.
And he would reference Madden ratings.
As ratings for why a guy should or shouldn't get traded. I mean, it would explain some things.
with the Jets. It would explain a lot.
I don't know who made this move, but you're trading away. You get two first-round picks. You have a coach who is under fire in his first season. Is this a move to become very attractive to a potential new coach? To go, hey, look, we got three first-round picks over the next two seasons. Yeah, we were a mess in 2025, but hey.
So they're going to fire Aaron Glenn after 1 year?
It's happened before. I don't know that it will, but if they go 1-16, don't rule it out.
Man, it would be very Steve Wilkes.
They got the Dolphins.
It would be a very Steve Wilkes.
They got the Dolphins at home who are selling off guys, so they'll probably win that one. Although if they keep trading guys, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't.
Let's wait a couple hours.
See what happens. Still got a couple hours to go.
Who's on this team still?
Yeah, so that's a wow. A wow thing. And you know what? You heard it here on ESPN. If you want to watch what's going on.
Yeah, with NFL Live.
With what Schefter and his four phones are doing on the show.
If you want to watch Adam Schefter tweet these updates live.
Yeah, maybe. Well, at the moment, you can't do it on YouTube TV. And that's why you need to go to keepmynetworks.com. Because if you love your ESPN, if you want to be up to date on what's going on during trade deadline day, if you want to watch the NBA, if you want to watch college football, it's all there for you on ESPN as a YouTube TV subscriber. Just go to keepmynetworks.com. I mean, I appreciate the guys doing it for us in the middle of our show. Just major trade.
Hey.
Major trade, particularly
normally
in the division.
That happens at 12:05, so I'm glad this
is. Yeah, Rich Eisen, Jets fan. I guess we'll hear his reaction.
We will hear his reaction.
Yeah, at some point. Maybe not immediately. At noon, but we'll hear it at some point. Rich Eisen will be next. Man, what the hell?
NFL.
Appreciate you, Chris Ballard.
Yeah, Chris Ballard.
Wait, did Lance's son make the trade? Maybe not Brick. Did Brick and Lance's kid get on the phone and make this deal happen?
With an Xbox controller in their hands?
Being hey, man. Two first rounders.
Let us trade them without a second one.
Look, Sauce ain't really a ball hawk. We need to have the ability to take the ball away.
That's what we need. So, tomorrow, 7 a.m.
I'm asking Lance.
We got to ask Lance about this, and then you also got Tom Herman later in the show.
Yeah, but more importantly, did Brick Johnson and Lance's kid make this trade happen? We'll find that out tomorrow. Okay, the breaking news of the day. Sauce Gardner, now Colt, in exchange for two first-round picks. We're done for the day. Rich Eisen's up next. Jeremy and Joe will follow him. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean, Sean?
Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
That guy was on the phone?
No, the son that guy's that guy. Son was on the phone. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.